ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD to the program. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I was watching the press conference earlier this week, and aside from the reporters yelling at each other, which was awesome, we'll get into that a little bit later. The Denard Wilson part of this, I got to say, TD, it did not take me long to watch Denard Wilson and hear him speak to realize why people like him a whole lot. He kind of fires you up. Listen, what were your impressions of Denard Wilson, new Titans defensive coordinator, at the press conference this week?
Right, yeah, he's one of those guys that just speaks energy. You can feel it when he talks. You could see it in his mannerisms. He's a guy that clearly loves football, and I really like some of the catchphrases he was using, you know, like obnoxious communication. I love that. And that's so important in order to avoid giving up big plays. So I think just bringing him in, that's going to help these guys. And that's what they want, right? They want somebody that could just make them better. And I think that's exactly what Denard Wilson is going to help do.
And obviously, TD, a lot of talk about the secondary as well. And you asked Denard Wilson about this at the press conference. And, one of the underrated parts of the Titans offseason, everybody's focusing in on the offense and the offensive line and skill positions and all those things, and I understand why. But how much work is required, do you think, in the secondary room this offseason for Rand Carthon and the Titans to kind of rebuild what they have back there?
Yeah, it's going to be some heavy lifting, that's for sure. You look at the free agents, right? Sean Murphy Bunning, Christian Fulton, those guys are set to hit the market. And you look at overall how things look, it's going to be slim pickings at the top when you talk about the premier corners being available. And that's the way it usually is because that's a premium position. But if you look at some of the lower-tier free agents, you know, the mid to lower-tier, there's some guys that can be signed. So you have that. And then you have the draft. I think they're going to have opportunities to add it in draft. And in my opinion, because of how this defense is going to attack under Denard Wilson, it's going to be really important to have coverage behind it because if you blitz – and you don't get home, you know, that could be bad things in the secondary. So that coverage is going to have to be there.
Yeah, no question about that. So, TD, what were your impressions of offensive coordinator Nick Holtz?
Yeah, Nick Holtz was – I like what he said just about, you know, meshing with Brian Callahan. I think he understands his role. Like, he gets it. He's not going to call the plays. But it seems like he's taking it personal to be able to have input on the game plan itself. So – his impact directly doesn't seem to happen as much on Sundays, but rest assured, you know, from Monday up to Saturday, he's going to be a big part of it. And that's basically what he said. So I thought that was good he said that. I like what he said about, you know, playing with energy and being able to dictate. Now, of course, he ceded to Callahan when I asked about that, but he did say, you know, when it's time, you know, they got to do what they have to do.
Turon, it's mock draft season. Plenty of mock drafts are coming out. I know you've looked through all of them. You've talked about them, and there's been a lot of talk around here, especially on this station, about what the Titans should do with their first-round draft pick, whether they should take a franchise left tackle or maybe address another need, particularly at wide receiver. I see a lot of mock drafts where either Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers could be available to the Titans at 7. Based on what you know of those two players, those two wide receivers, do you think one would fit this team better than the other?
That's a good question because they both bring different things. I think just the shorthanded downfield threat, boundary, pass-catching ability that Rome Odunze brings would be very attractive. The huge catch radius, that's something that I know would benefit Will Levis, but they're at the same time, man. Just that ability to get yards after the catch, and 3 yards, you know, turn a short pass into a big gain. That's what you get with Nabers, that explosiveness. So I really couldn't pick one over the other. I think they both would be really good. Either one would fit into what Brian Callahan wants, and that's guys that can score touchdowns on the outside.
TD, on the Derrick Henry front, you know, obviously we're, you know, a little less than a month away now from those decisions having to be made, and there's a ton of running backs that at the moment look like they're going to be out there and they're going to be available on the market. So how do you think the running back market affects what the price could be for Derrick Henry, and is there a team or two out there that you think could be a really good fit for Derrick Henry if it's not going to be the Titans?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at a team like the Ravens, that would be a perfect fit for Derrick Henry. If I'm the Titans, I let Henry go ahead and test the market and just tell him, look, man, see what you can gather. Bring it back to me. We'll match it. We know you want to be here. We'll you know, give us a chance to match it. I think that's what the approach should be. He could definitely fit in with this team. I mean, obviously, he won't get the 25 to 30 carries a game that usually is best for him. But, I mean, you saw last year, that's kind of what they got away from last year. So, and he still was second in the league in rushing. So he could still play. And that was behind that offensive line. So you look at what Brian Callahan said just as far as, you know, how any offense could use a player like Derrick Henry. You look at what he's done in Cincinnati as far as going 12 personnel and sometimes running the football. I mean, there were times where Joe Mixon, you know, he was relied upon heavily. So I definitely think he could fit, but it's just not the same fit as it once was, whereas he was the guy that everything revolved around.
TD, where do you come down on the Skoronski part of this? You know, Jared has been talking for months, and he was talking again yesterday about moving him to left tackle potentially. And, you know, we asked Vrabel about that throughout the season, and the Titans were never really able or willing, I guess, to move him over there. Do you think that should be a possibility? Do you think he's strictly a guard and you go draft a left tackle and that's the end of it in the draft? Where do you come down on the Skoronski part of this?
Yeah, I think you draft the left tackle. I think that is something you do. But, I mean, you consider it, but I feel as though Skoronski at guard and you draft the tackle, that left side could be pretty good. And, yes, he was an All-American in college, you know, at left tackle. But, I mean, Tim Tebow was a Heisman winner in All-American multiple years at quarterback at Florida. And we know how that situation works out. College All-Americans don't always be outstanding NFL players. And to me, I think, you know, there's a chance he could be moved to tackle. It just depends on how this team, this group of evaluators, how they look at the pocket, right? And we know Mike Vrabel, he was very, very critical about protecting the pocket from the inside out. Now, here's the other thing I'll tell you. You ask any quarterback, ask Drew Brees, ask Aaron Rodgers, ask the great Tom Brady, they will all tell you the thing that they hate most is having the pocket pushed back into their left. Guess what is one of the best ways to avoid that happening? Your guard, center, guard, triangle. So investing a high pick in a guard is not a bad decision. You want guys who are going to help you play and win games. I think Skoronski at guard will help you do that. So I don't devalue that position. You know what I mean? And I do think that a left tackle can be had in this draft, whether it's at pick 7 or pick 38 or 39, wherever they are in the second round. I think they can get that left tackle there.
TD, last thing for you here. So, you know, obviously Kevin Byard is no longer here, and there's a hole at the safety position, and certainly depth-wise at the safety position. That's something they need to take a look at. What do you think the plan should be there for the Titans? Is it something you address in the draft or free agency? Or would you be comfortable going with a starting safety duo of Molden and Hooker next year? Where do you come down on that part of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, that duo would be something to start with. I know Molden did have some struggles, but it was his first year playing safety exclusively, so see how that goes in year two. But, I mean, nobody's talking about Kayvon Wallace. And the fact of the matter is Kayvon Wallace played under Denard Wilson with the Eagles when he was their secondary coach. And Wallace actually had a decent showing when he was with the Titans last year. So low-cost free agent, I would definitely look at bringing him back. You look at the draft, there's an abundance of safeties. You know, as a matter of fact, I just had Malik Mustafa, a safety out of Wake Forest. I had him on Talking with TD this past episode. And he's a guy that you could get on day three. And he can come in and help you out. You know, so there's depth there at the position. it's one of those ones where you don't have to address it in the first couple of days of the draft. You can get a solid player later.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. I'm looking forward to doing the show with you on Monday, so hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you bright and early on Monday morning, and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to that on Monday. We'll have to talk about this Preds game, too, man.
Oh, man.
9 goals. What the heck? I saw that live.
But rough.
Anyhow, let's move on to ESPN Bet, which is now live in Tennessee, and it's the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. If you haven't done so, sign up today, and as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You can find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Only thing is, you must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling problems or support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
Well, take your thoughts and reaction to what Teron Davenport had to say on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Daytona 500. Coverage will begin at 12:30 with a race starting at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate Teron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's going on? What's up, my guy, Adam?
Mark, good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to hear from the Mount Rushmore of radio talk. Adam, Robbie, Joe Rexroad. Yeah, the Mount Rushmore. Good to hear from you, Adam. How
still
y'all
on
doing?
There?
Good.
Hey, Robbie, you was talking about some of the needs of the Titans and stuff. I'm going to agree with everything you were saying. And what TD was saying, they're going to need to safety, linebacker, defensive line, especially the offensive line. I would leave Staronski at guard and get me a left tackle. If they can't get the tackle that they need in the first round, though, Robert, I would really consider things about trading back and try to accumulate more picks. The more picks you get, the more depth you can build. And that's something I hope they think about doing and stuff. Because they have a lack of a lot of picks, and they need to accumulate more picks than what they do have and stuff. So, they have a need at everything. Molden, he's a good safety, made some mistakes, but that was his first year playing. But I would still build some depth there at safety and through the draft and stuff and build my defensive backfield up like that. I don't think they're going to bring Fulton back, so you're going to need a good cover corner you can get out of the draft and stuff. But hey, y'all have a good weekend. I just wanted to holler at you. I heard my guy this morning. I hadn't heard him in a while. But, hey, y'all have a good weekend. You too, Robbie.
Thanks,
hey, Robbie. Hey, Robbie, I need to talk to you, man. So don't forget about me.
I won't forget about you.
All right. See y'all later,
appreciate
Adam. Have
you,
a good one.
You too, Mark.
I mean, that is an interesting, I guess, decision if it presents itself that the Titans would have to make, right? So let's say you love Joe Alt and he's your guy, and you want to take him at left tackle, but somebody either moves up and takes him before you, or, I don't know, like the Chargers in front of you take Joe Alt before you have a chance to. At that point, would you consider moving down and trying to accumulate more picks in the draft if you've got a partner to do so? Or do you look at the board and you say, you know what, we didn't get the tackle that we absolutely love, but there's Roma Dunze, there's Malik Nabers, and while it's not addressing the left tackle need specifically, maybe we can do that in the second round, and right now here's a game-changing wide receiver that we can add to our group. Like, that's an interesting decision of what would you do there if you're the Titans. Like, the allure of getting more picks and maybe adding some more top talent that way. Personally, if it were me and it came down to that decision, I would go ahead and take the game-breaking wide receiver and not worry about more picks. That's just me.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because the Titans have a lot of holes at premium positions. You know, I understand the allure of taking Joe Alt at the top of the draft because if he's as good as everyone says he is, and he's your left tackle, and Peter Skoronski is your left guard, you know, hopefully you can set it and forget it, and those guys are on the left side of your line for the next 10 years, and you can use, you know, you don't have to worry about that anymore, which is something the Titans have had to worry about for the past couple of years because the offensive line has been so porous. But, you know, when I think about, you know, what Brian Callahan can do as coach of the Titans and what the Cincinnati Bengals have shown, you know, adding a young game-changing wide receiver, you know, I think it's too enticing to pass up. Now, maybe that decision gets made for you, right? Maybe Joe Alt goes before you have a chance to pick.
Yep.
And then it's, you know, then you can have your, you know, pick of wide receiver, whether it's Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers or someone else. But, you know, I'm thinking about what, you know, Brian Callahan can do for Will Levis. And if you want him to have, you know, similar weapons to what Joe Burrow had in Cincinnati, now, of course, I'm not expecting anyone to be Jamar Chase out there. But if you could have someone that, you know, a young receiver that can grow with Will Levis, and, you know, Tajay Spears, I think, is a big part of this as well, because Joe Mixon, you know, in Cincinnati, not only is he really good on the ground, he's really good catching the ball out of the backfield. And if Tajay Spears can fill a similar role where he's collecting a lot of targets, you know, I think that can make this Titans offense a lot more dynamic and more modern than what we've seen over the past couple of years under Mike Vrabel.
Well, the bottom line is they need elite talent. They're in desperate need of elite talent.
Yes.
All across the board. And look, you could take this to the Predators discussion too. They're in need of elite talent. But, like, that's to me why, like, if you, especially if Alt is still on the board and you've got your pick of Alt and at least one of those wide receivers, like, you're not trading back to me if you got that selection. Because the thought process is I'm either getting a franchise-changing left tackle, which most people believe that's what Joe Alt is, a guy that you could plug and play and can be your starter at left tackle for the next 10 years, or a receiver that can, along with DeAndre Hopkins next season, transform your passing game, hopefully. So, like, when you have the opportunity to choose those guys, and look, the Titans have to do their own evaluation. Maybe they don't agree that Malik Nabers can be one of those guys. Maybe they don't agree that Joe Alt is the, you know, the franchise changing left tackle that a lot of people believe he is. But if they do, and you're picking seventh overall, this roster is in desperate need of elite talent. And when you have the seventh overall pick, you got to go get somebody that's elite and start to add to that roster.
You got to hit on that pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you absolutely have
it's
to
It's a
hit
crucial
on that
draft.
Pick. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I liked a lot of what I saw from Will Levis over the course of the season. I know that it was a small sample and it came in, you know, in the middle of the season, but I think he showed a lot of promise. You know, who knows if he'll be the franchise quarterback, but I think he's given you some reason to believe he could get there. And now he's got a coach that hopefully will be here for a while. You know, that's why I know it was important for a lot of people that the Titans hired an offensive coach. So it doesn't matter if the OC gets poached because Brian Callahan is calling the plays and he can develop that relationship with Will Levis. So, you know, the way the Titans had been doing it, you know, a lot of Derrick Henry, a lot of play action, that did work for a little while. But, it's tapered off, and I think it's time for a fresh look. So, you know, the idea of getting that franchise left tackle and then not having to worry about that position hopefully for the next 10 years is really enticing, but so is going out and getting a young receiver who can become Will Levis's number one target for hopefully that long as well.
Well, and Tommy on the text line brings up another good option. Like he says, you know, I think if Bowers is available, you got to take him. He'd be a huge asset for Levis. Mm-hmm. He's Kittle at blocking and Kelsey at catching. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a lofty comparison, but I do think he has a chance to be really, really good at the NFL level. You know, that's another one. If he's there, I'd certainly consider it if you're the Titans. Now, look, one of those guys is going to be gone, right? Like, I would be very surprised if the seventh overall pick comes around and the Titans are going to have their choice between Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. If that happens,
yeah.
well, That's a heck of a spot to be in if you're the Titans,
right?
At that point. But I mean, Brock Bowers certainly. Like if the I said it before and I'll say it again. If the Titans walk out of here and Brock Bowers is their pick, it's gonna be difficult for me to be upset about that. Even though I know they need a left tackle and a wide receiver, it'd be hard for me to be upset with him taking Brock Bowers.
No, he's a really good player, and we saw in the we saw in the Super Bowl on one side of the ball how important it is having a great tight end. Now George Kittle is a great tight end. He did not have a good game in the Super Bowl, but we saw how important Kittle was to the 49ers getting to that point. So if you can find a tight end like that, because really in the NFL, I mean, how many tight there's maybe there's three, right? Kelce, Kittle, and maybe Mark Andrews.
Like at times.
Yeah, are the three tight ends. Definitely.
I would probably leave it Kelce and Kittle.
Yeah.
That's about
and that. Then you could make an argument for Andrews if you want to include him in that group. But if you can find a guy like that, clearly it makes a huge difference. So, yeah, Brock Bowers would be, you know, a really solid pick for the Titans. I too, would not be upset by that if that were the pick.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Preds. 9-2, a loss last night at the hands of the Dallas Stars. We'll discuss that. Take your reaction to that as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vinyan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. The Preds got smoked last night, 9-2 against the Dallas Stars, and it was ugly right from the jump. Dallas scored 35 seconds into the game, and they didn't look back. I said it to begin the show, Adam. I've seen, I'm not going to say every period of Predators hockey, but I've seen most every period of Preds hockey that they've probably ever played. And last night was the worst. That first period that they played last night was the worst one I've ever seen. And I did some digging on that. It's the sixth time in franchise history that they've given up one shot in a period. So the sixth time that that has happened. And they got outscored 4-0 in the period and outshot 18-1. So when you factor in the 4-0 deficit, which, by the way, it could have been worse, the 18-1 shot differential, I think it's the worst period of hockey that they've ever played in the history of the franchise. And then you factor in the entire game. It didn't just stop in the first period. Dallas hangs up 9 goals. You get beat 9-2 on home ice 2 days after you got, in your own words, embarrassed at home with your effort and with the lack of battle level that you had against New Jersey. And to a man, you know, Yossi talked about it in the post game. Novak talked about it. Cody Glass. Everybody talked about the effort against New Jersey wasn't good enough. And then you follow it up with that yesterday against the Stars. It was very concerning. And to me, I said it yesterday before the game even happened, but last night kind of reiterates it. Like, if you're Barry Trotz trying to make a decision on what to do at the deadline, the decision to me is made at this point.
There's only one period I can think of that I remember that was perhaps worse than that one. Do you remember the game against the Blues at home a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Where they were, I think, outscored 7-1 in the second period?
Yeah.
I actually pulled it up right now. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They were outscored 7-1 in the second period, man.
At least they scored.
There's some interesting goal scorers in this period. Vladimir Tarasenko, Callie Rosen, Jordan Kyrou, Callie Rosen again, Nathan Walker, Braden Schenn, Luke Cunningham. And Jordan Kyrou.
Yes.
7-1. It was 1-1 after one. It was 8-2 after two. So that's the only other period I can think of that was really that bad. But yeah, it was the game was over very, very quickly last night. And the Predators now go on a 5-game road trip that, I know we use this term a lot, that's definitely a make or break moment of their season. You know, we did not have time for Call Your Shot Friday today, but I'll do my call shot here while we're talking about it. The Predators will not earn more than 5 out of a possible 10 points on this road trip. So they can get up to 10. I'm going to say they get no more than 5.
Is that a called shot?
I don't know. Let's ask Nick.
Verdict?
I think it is. I was going to say maybe like, I don't know, maybe 6 points.
So they're playing. So they're playing St. Louis.
Yes, they're playing St. Louis.
Been very,
they're playing Vegas. Well.
The called shot would be like they're not going to earn more than like 3.
Yeah.
Or 4.
Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a shot to say they're not going to earn.
It's
6.
It's been a while, Adam. 7. I will permit it. I think it works.
Okay. He will permit. Is that a word? Yeah.
It is now.
Probably not.
Okay.
Anyway. My mediocrity of my choice of words continues. It's okay.
So,
at least you guys know my gist.
Called shot or not, I think there it's not going to be a great road trip.
Okay,
how about this? I'll do this. They will lose in regulation to one of the Ducks or the Sharks.
Okay, that counts.
How about that? Included in the called shot. They would lose to one of the Sharks and the Ducks in regulation.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be bad. So it's rough going here, and you know the Predators would be wise to start. You know they got an early start to the deadline last year. They did not waste time. Nino Niederreiter, I believe, was the first player traded, and that was at least a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks before the deadline. It was pretty
February 25th, I think, was when they started the trading last year.
Yeah, so we're getting around that time, and you know I think you could see Alex Carrier be moved. His name has popped up a lot. Tyson Barrie, obviously, looking for a change of scenery, and that's been known for a while. You know, I'm wondering if there's a player that we're not expecting to be traded. Now, like, we talked a lot about Saros and whether or not that could work, but I'm not including him. I'm wondering if there's someone else on the team that we haven't talked about as a potential trade that could be moved. Like, could you see someone like Trennan be moved or Nyquist be moved, similar to Niederreiter last
Fabro,
year.
Carey, yeah. I mean, look.
Who would that be?
I am with you from the standpoint of I do think there will be players, whether it's at the deadline or probably more specifically in the summer, but I do think there will be players moved that people, as we sit here today, don't expect to be moved. Mm-hmm. Like I think Barry Trotz, I think it's necessary. Like I think you need to continue to churn this roster, right? You need to continue to turn the roster over and to get in new blood. And, you know, look, Philip Forsberg's not going anywhere, obviously. He's played great this year. You just brought in O'Reilly, so he's not going anywhere. Roman Josi's got a no-movement clause, so he's not going anywhere. But, you know, other than that, I'd be looking around and seeing who fits into what you want to do, who fits into the system that you want to run with Andrew Brunette, and who's got the approach that you want. Clearly, you know, based on comments that Andrew Brunette has made, clearly there are still players that are in that room right now that either aren't getting it or are not approaching the game consistently with the mindset that Andrew Brunette wants, because he's talking about it in the post-game media session pretty much every game after the games now. And you start to pay attention to that after a while of, like, who exactly is he talking about? Like, what exactly – is it one guy? Is it a collection of people? Like, what exactly is going on where apparently there's a disconnect right now?
And I admire that about Andrew Brunette. He does not hold back.
He doesn't care.
And that's a good thing, I think, when you're a coach. And look, oftentimes when coaches say things like that, the players have heard it before. Yep. Like, it's not this is not shocking to anyone in the Predators dressing room to hear those things in the public by Andrew Brunette. He's saying those things to them. So, you know, when the Predators went through that stretch, you know, before Christmas?
Mid-November to right around Christmas.
Yeah, when they went 13-3, you're like, oh, maybe they got something here. And really, no pun intended, it seems like it was a bit of fool's gold. I just think that this team is, their record right now is reflective of, I think, the type of team we expected them to be. I just think it's disappointing in the sense that, you know, was it worth it? I mean, it's easy to hindsight second guess this. Was it worth it, you know, to put a team together with the intention of competing for a playoff spot? Now, people might accuse me now of saying the Predators should tank. Well, if they wanted to tank, last year was the year to tank.
Exactly.
I'm not sure this was the year to tank. But, you know, I have long held the belief that the Predators will not get better until they allow themselves to get worse. You know, taking a one step back isn't what I'm talking about, because at the rate where they're going right now, they're going to pick, you know, right where they always pick in the draft, 15, 16, 17. And that isn't to say that you couldn't find a good player there, but you're not going to find the type of player that Barry Trotz was willing to reportedly – well, I don't think it was reportedly. I think he admitted it.
Yeah.
Was willing to trade Yaroslav Askarov to move into the top five. Like, you're not going to find that player at 17. So
– more than likely. Yeah.
So – you know, it just feels like they're kind of spinning their wheels again. Like, I really just think that you don't need a total teardown. I don't think you need to go that far, maybe. But, like, this team needs to be a team that's picking in the top 10.
Well, a continuation of what you did a year ago, right? Like, to continue to strip away at some roster players that you have and tear it back down. And look, you know, with the way they're playing right now, like, don't look now, but Minnesota's right behind them in the standings. Like, they keep playing the way they played the last couple of weeks, they're going to get passed by quite a few teams coming up here.
I'd love to know. I'd have to go back and look, like, where, how far back the Blues were of the behind the Predators before they went 8-2 in their past 10 games. Like, I could look that up easily during the break. But, you know, there are teams coming up behind them that you do not want to be behind.
No.
You know, Minnesota has had a rough season, and they got the new coach rub when John Hines came in, but that's worn off, and it's not been great for them lately. So, you know, you don't want to end. I mean, I guess in some sense, maybe you do want to end up down there because it enhances your odds of getting a good pick.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? It's always great to see you, Adam. How you been, man?
Good. You?
Good, good. My question is, how concerned are you that the Preds are just going to be middling for years to come? I mean, we haven't seen anything different. We look at the Blackhawks, and it's obvious what they're doing. But my concern is they want to still stay competitive and try and retool. Investments don't always bring a return. You sometimes lose. So, I mean, right now I just don't have faith that they're really picking a direction. They're on the fence, and they need to get off.
Yep, thanks for the call, Nate. Appreciate it. We'll get more into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vinyan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Preds lose 9-2 last night. Getting your reaction to that. So, Nate called in asking about leveling off in mediocrity. I don't know. That's what they've been for the last 5 years. And the plan you thought last year when they started to sell off was to change that. And look, you know, they've played really poorly for the last couple of weeks here. Kind of the last week heading into the break, and ever since they come out of the break, it's been pretty bad. So will they snap out of that and figure some things out here moving forward? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I thought that probably would have happened after the Tuesday night game, and it did not, and they got shelled last night. So I have no idea what version of the Nashville Predators is going to show up on Saturday against the St. Louis Blues. I do know there's one thing that we got to stop talking about, and I get it. It's in the aftermath of a 9-2 loss, and I understand it. So people are mad, and especially if you paid for a ticket for that game last night, I'd be upset too. But can we please stop talking about the coach losing the room 55 games in the first year of the season?
Yeah, that's one aspect of my old job I don't miss. I'm not going to lie. The overreaction. And by the way, I looked this up during the break. On January 19th, the Predators had a 7-point lead over the Blues. They're now down 4 points. So that's an 11-point swing over the past month. The Blues have gone from down 7 to up 4 on the Predators. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to point fingers when things aren't going well and wonder if Andrew Burnett, you know, is the right coach for this group. I think, you know, it's way too early to tell. I mean, it's not going well. I agree with you, what you said earlier, Robbie, that if these things stretch across multiple coaching staffs, it's not a coaching issue. It's a roster issue. And I think that's one thing that, I mean, we had plenty of spirited debates, you know, near the end of John Hines' time here about is the problem John Hines or is the problem the roster he's been given? And I usually sided more on the roster than on the John Hines part. And I think that, you know, with the fact that Andrew Burnett is having similar issues, I think it's clear that it's more of a roster construction issue.
Hey, look, everybody wanted to blame everything on John Hines, and I get it. Like, you get to the end of his coaching tenure, and everything's his fault. It's kind of similar to what's going on with Vrabel right now with the Titans. Everything's Vrabel's fault. And it's not. Like, everything wasn't Vrabel's fault, and everything was not John Hines' fault. And I'm not saying it wasn't time to move on from John Hines, because it was. It was time to move on from John Hines and get a new direction in here from a new coaching standpoint, from a new general manager standpoint, and I think the Predators did the right thing last year. But this roster still needs to be churned over. And look, you know, Andrew Burnett's not been perfect. I think there have been some decisions that he's made this year that have not been good. And he, you know, he admitted the other day he's not always right. So it's not like he's done a fantastic job this season either. But the coach, I don't know how you can get through all this and watch what's going on here for the last 5 years and see similar things happening right now and say, well, it must be the coach. It's not the coach.
No.
And we're getting to the point with the roster where I do wonder if, like, bigger moves than we've probably expected all year are coming in terms of maybe established players who have been here. Like, could Barry Trotz really be looking to shake this thing up, whether it's now or in the summer?
But I wonder who that would be, right? Because
– well, Forsberg and Yosi have no movement clauses.
Right. So
you know it's probably not going to be them.
And I think Ryan McDonagh has some sort of trade protection in his contract. Like, but I'm thinking, like, if it's not Saros, like, who is it? Is it Colton Sissons? Like, does he have value around the league? Like, who is that player? Like, if a statement trade is going to be made on a player that doesn't have control over his situation, who is it going to be?
Well, and that's the thing, because they have turned over a ton of the roster, and it's not going to be Ryan O'Reilly, right? You just brought him in. So, is it like you're getting rid of both Fabro and Carrier? Are you revamping the way your defense is constructed? Are you looking at your forward group specifically with guys like maybe a Trennan and a McCarron and trying to revamp that whole thing? Like, everybody keeps, you know, we've got people in the text line talking about just bring up Joakim Kimmel, bring up all these young kids. And I get the thought process, but guys, they have to be ready to play in the NHL for you to bring them up. You can't just throw them to the wolves and expect that that's going to work out well for you in terms of their development. You'll be right back in the same situation that you're in with some of their young guys right now. They have to be ready to play in the league before you bring them into the league.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the desire to get these guys up here and see and look. Like, I've long heard the idea of, and I've thought about it too. Like, if the season is quote unquote lost, like if you're not going to be making the playoffs, why not use this time to get some of the younger kids playing time? But you also don't want to hurt their development by throwing them in when they're not ready.
Adam, really enjoyed having you in today, brother.
Yes, my pleasure. Hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. We'll have TD in with us on Monday. Looking forward to that. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Jared Stillman coming up next from 9 to 11. Stillman & Company, a special edition. Today, you're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.